This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely's Hero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The right-hander deals.
Swung on, driven to deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Let the Gardy party begin. Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seats. It is a grand salami. And the Yankees, down 3-1, now take a 5-3 lead.
So this is what happens. This is what happens when you go in bad, that the one area of the team that you think you might be able to rely on a little bit, that one area, the bullpen, which hasn't been awful here in the early part of the year. And you could say that Matt Barnes, Ryan Brazier, those guys have actually done their jobs. That the area with the biggest or the greatest questions coming into the Red Sox season here in 2019, that area was their best until last night. Because this is what happens when you're going bad. You finally get a good game out of the starting pitchers. You finally get a lead early in the game. You finally get a little bit of offense from, you know, well, J.D. Martinez homered. And then because, again, I was all over the map last night. Everyone else, wasn't it Vasquez last night that homered?
Yes.
Okay, so you finally get some offense out of catcher. You finally get that on top of it, all of it.
He seems to rake there.
And you know what happens? Your bullpen comes in and blows the game because you neglected that area during the offseason. So now the one mistake you made, if you are Dave Dombrowski, bites you in the ass. So here you are. You're 6-13. Now you just get swept in New York, which to me was predictable given, honestly, if you had told me way back when the Red Sox are going to go into New York on April 16th for a two-game series, first meeting of the year, I said the Yankees are going to win both. Because New York had something to prove to you after losing in the division series last year, and they were going to come out and make a statement, and they did, especially on the first night. But that's where we're going to start, 617-779-0985. Last night, the bullpen, and to a degree, Dave Dombrowski did them in. Because Dombrowski's the one who took the hands-off approach with the bullpen. So now throw the president of baseball operations on the list of people to blame for this absolutely horrendous Red Sox start. And I mentioned this to you earlier in the week, that because the Bruins are in the playoffs, because the Celtics are in the playoffs, we have limited opportunities to talk about baseball and the Red Sox this week. So I'm not sure we're going to have a baseball reporters tomorrow either, Jimmy, are we? Jimmy Stewart, our producer, no baseball reporters tomorrow. We're going to do...
Correct. It is Felger and Maz until 6:30.
Okay, so again, we'll do an extra hour of programming from the TD Garden studio tomorrow night.
I mean, we could have Sean Grandy on, and he can do baseball reporters.
Well, yeah, no, let's, like I said, make sure we put Sean on the calendar for November. He wants to do baseball, so we'll have him pop in November.
Of course, Mr. Hoops.
So there we go. But if you want to talk Red Sox, now's your chance to do it. Again, 617-779-0985. Dave Dombrowski made this comment last night. I don't know if it was before the game or after the game, but it doesn't really matter. Dombrowski said, when you start looking at our club, you say, well, what facet of your club is playing really well? We're not really playing well anywhere. Our starting pitching hasn't been very good. Our defense hasn't been very good. And then he caught himself. Our defense hasn't been overly good. Our hitting hasn't been like it's capable of being. You've got to shake out of it. You just can't keep playing like this. And I don't think we will. Am I concerned? Yeah. I'll be concerned until we start playing better. So again, the first part of that comment, and I told you this yesterday, when you start looking at our club, you say, well, what facet of your club is playing really well? We're not really playing very well anywhere. Translation, Murray, you want to do it for me?
They suck at everything.
You suck at everything. Right, you suck at everything. That's what the translation is. Dave Dombrowski sitting there saying, we suck at everything. And you know what? He's right. Murray, you think the season's over already?
Sure do. Yeah, I think that they've
already dug themselves too big of a hole. If you look at the American League, and specifically just keeping it in the American League East, I think Tampa is for real. They won that Chris Archer deal. They got a good pitcher out of him, who you're going to see Sunday against Price. Tampa's not going to go away. And the thing that happened in these last two games, not even looking at the Red Sox numbers and how, you know, ugly it's been all around, because they do, again, suck at everything, you woke up the Yankees, who were putting out a Triple-A lineup the last couple of nights.
The Yankees are missing six starters. We rattled off the names for you last night. Sanchez, catcher, out. Greg Bird, out. Torres, the second baseman, is there, but forget I mentioned him. I'll start again. Sanchez, a catcher, out. Bird, out. Gregorius, a shortstop, is out. Andujar, third base, out. Stanton, designated hitter, out. Who am I missing? There's one more. Aaron Hicks, center field, out. Six starters. Six out. For the Yankees, they beat you 8-0 in the first game, and they came back and beat you 5-4 last night on a grand slam by Brett Gardner. And you know why the grand slam's important? Brazier, rather, threw a horrendous pitch. Horrendous. 0-2, piped him a fastball, allowed Gardner to pull it, and he drilled it into the seats. The right way to pitch Brett Gardner in that situation, by the way, away, or so down and in that he couldn't possibly keep it fair. Nothing middle in that he can hit to right field. You think Brett Gardner's going to hit one into the bullpens at left center field or Monument Park? He doesn't have the power to do that. You pitch him away. So they screwed that up too. Just my assessment of it. And you know why there were men on base? Because Brandon Workman is your seventh inning guy. Brandon Workman. That's your seventh inning guy now, because you have Brazier and Barnes for the eighth and ninth. You don't have enough relievers. So you know what Brandon Workman did? Lead off single on the first pitch. Oh, what a shock. Red Sox reliever came into the game facing a right-handed batter, right-handed pitcher. First pitch, breaking ball. They do it every time. Watch them. Whether it's Barnes, Colton Brewer, they love the curveball. Boy, the Red Sox love that curveball. So they bring these guys in. You know what they do? Curveball first pitch. Because the hitter's looking for a fastball, and we'll get ahead in the count, and then we gut him. Now we can do whatever we want. Except Frazier went up there last night looking for a curveball and singled. And then you know what Workman did? He walked the next guy on five pitches. Then he got a strikeout. You know what he did? He walked the next guy on five pitches. Because Brandon Workman isn't really a late-inning reliever on a championship-caliber team. He's not. At best, he's a sixth-inning guy. But because the Red Sox were so cavalier during the offseason, they don't need a good bullpen because their manager can work magic. Just ask him. So here you go, 6-13, because now your bullpen bit you in the ass. So now add the president of baseball operations to the list of guys who's contributed to this stupidity and this stoogery at the beginning of the season, because there were a bunch of things that crystallized last night that should put Dombrowski on your list. And we'll get to all of them a little bit later in the show. But man, what a kick in the ass. You've got a lead going into the seventh. Finally. Because you've been behind every night. You've been behind every game, really, all year. So now you get a lead going into the seventh. Vomit. Puke right on the mound there at Yankee Stadium. Nice job, guys. Good start. Way to go. Ben's in a car. Ben, what do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. When Dombrowski's talking about, you know, nobody's doing anything particularly well, like, I hear him 100%, right? So everybody's doing a little bit of what we expected them to do, and there's no magic. And I guess I'm wondering, like, what's going to be the thing that's the difference maker? What could they do to bring somebody in, right? A solid guy in the bullpen, somebody who's, get somebody going, in the top of the order, something that they can actually rely on, right? Like, with Sale pitching as badly as he is, and with everybody doing a little bit of what they're supposed to do, they have nothing to rely on, and the dominoes are just tumbling one after another.
Okay, so Ben, I'll tell you what. What move can you make to get him to snap him out of it? And you know what? The more I think about this, I'm doing nothing.
You shouldn't have to do anything.
Okay, and it's not just because they have talent on this team, because it really is about underperformance. There's no way this team should be 6-13. But you know what else? You know the other reason I'm doing nothing? I'm going to make them suffer. I'm going to make them work their right way out of it. You want to win? Start playing better. You're not getting any help. Screw you. You've played like a bunch of clowns. You won. You had a great year last year, and then you just showed up and thought you could throw the gloves on the field, win the games, and then you could get to late in the year and turn it on and make the playoffs and win the whole thing again. Because apparently it's easy, or at least you think it is. That's how they acted. What else can you possibly say? What is just a bad start? Everyone's going bad at the same time? When a team is in this kind of funk, how can you explain it other than to say they weren't ready to go and they took it for granted? I mean, to me, this is what we were saying about the 2011 team when they started badly. We said they showed up and acted like they were going to win by throwing their gloves on the field. And you know what? Now they've gotten their ass kicked and they actually have to play. And you know what they're finding out? They're not ready. They're not ready to play. They're not ready to compete. So they're looking at it going, oh man, how did this happen? Boy, we made a mistake. We took it for granted. Did they ever? Boy, they look like a bunch of jackasses right now, if you ask me. Greg's in a car. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, hey, Tony. I got to take exception to your list of Yankee starters on the saying it. Bird is not a starter. Bird is at best third string.
Okay, fine. So it's five starters and Bird.
Okay. And remember, you're also forgetting Troy Tulowitzki, who was brought in, who is a very manageable shortstop. A lot of teams would kill to have him, who's also on the shelf.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, you're right on the
fact. All right, Greg, listen, I get it. Thanks for busting my balls. Okay, I'm just telling you, you want to tell me Tulowitzki's starting for Gregorius, then I can't give you Gregorius as a starter. Okay, Gregorius is the shortstop. So, look, on Bird, fine, Bird's not the guy. You want to tell me it's Luke Voit or whoever else, and tell me that it's Luke Voit. I'm just telling you, the Yankees are undermanned. Okay, the Yankees are undermanned, and the Red Sox get their asses kicked. And they get them kicked up and down the field. They got smoked in the first game of the series. Smoked. As Murray said, you just brought them back to life. So good. What I would say to the Red Sox is take your time. I mean, and some of the fans out there, some of you keep telling me, it's early. It's early. It's only 19 games, Billy, in Rhode Island. I don't believe that April's a throwaway. I'm not telling you they're dead. Murray thinks the season's over. And you know what? He might be right. I don't think it is, but I'm not telling him he's wrong. I've seen teams bury themselves in April. I saw the 96 Red Sox do it. I've seen lots of teams bury themselves in April and never get out of it. Hell, if we're going to use a playoff or a current comparison, how about the Celtics? They started out 10-10. Did they ever get out of it? No. So we'll see how that one turns out because they made the playoffs. Of course, in that league, you can fall out of bed and make the playoffs. Baseball doesn't work that way. So again, no problem. 19 games in. They've got a month to fix this thing because if they're in the same spot in the middle of May, a month. And that means they have to go basically like what? 20-8 over the next month to get the five games over 500 or something like that? 20-9? They have to do that in the next month. If they don't, well, then I think you start taking a different view long term. You start taking a different view, and some guys in that clubhouse already are. We'll explain that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've said this in past seasons, I'll say it again now. One of the great misconceptions is that you have plenty of time. There's 143 games left. The Red Sox have plenty of time. Wrong. It's not as much time as you think it is. It never is. Because especially now, there's been a change in the trading deadline. There's now only one trading deadline in Major League Baseball. I mean, this was true last year anyway, but I would say it's even truer now. You have to know whether you are a contender or a pretender before the trade deadline. And this year, did they move it to the All-Star break too, or is it July 31st still? If, you know, because there was talk of them moving it to the All-Star break, and I think they got rid of the waiver trading deadline on September 1. That's out now. So it's the non-waiver trading deadline is it. It's been on July 31st.
Yeah, it's still July 31st.
Okay, so it's still July 31st. Thank you, Murray. So, but nonetheless, you have to know what your team is, really, by the end of May. I mean, if you use the traditional formula in knowing what your team is to be able to make acquisitions, subtractions, moves. Okay, if you go by the traditional formula, it's May 15th. That used to say first 6 weeks usually give you a pretty good idea of what you have there. The first quarter of the season gives you a clue. Then with Moneyball, they started to change that and extend it a little. They said the first 6 weeks is not really enough, so we're going to push it till the end of May. 2 months. The old Billy Bean formula was 2 months to learn what your team is, 2 months to fix it, June and July, right up to the deadline, and then 2 months to play it out, which is August and September. But think about it. If you need to make an acquisition, you need to start looking in late May. The Red Sox have made big trades in May before. Back in, what year was that, Jimmy? 03? Did they acquire Byung-Hyun Kim in May?
It was like May 15th for Shea Hillenbrand.
Okay, it was a deal that they made in May. And then a month later in June, they acquired Allen Embry because they thought they had a championship caliber offense and they needed some bullpen help. So again, it starts then. It doesn't just ramp up in August and September. There's a process to it. So here you are now. April's almost gone. You suck. You better get your ass in gear because you're going to, before you know it, you're going to be at a point where you have to decide, are we in it or are we out of it? Which brings me to David Price, and then I'll get right back to your calls. David Price told the Boston Globe, if we don't start playing better, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, maybe myself, we could get traded. We're what? 30th in minor league systems, Price said. We're dead last. We don't play better. Mookie Betts will be traded. JD Martinez will be traded. It will be tough for a while here. Okay? Now, he says it definitively. Mookie will be traded. JD will be traded. I'm not telling you definitively. But earlier this year, before the season started, we had conversations on this show that the Mookie Betts situation was worrisome because if the Red Sox couldn't get a straight answer from him at the end of the season, they might have to trade him at the end of the year. Hell, I told you if it were me, I'd trade him before the year because I think you get more for him and you have nothing in your farm system. Nothing. So if you get to June and you still have this record, Dave Dombrowski has to look at trading pieces. Rick Porcello's an easy one. Bye-bye. See you later. And this afternoon, Felger thinks there's no way they will trade Mookie Betts, that they don't have the stomach for it. And I think he's wrong. Remember, different GM, but these guys traded Nomar. Okay, at the time, nobody could believe it. They traded Nomar Garciaparra. So I think that if it gets bad enough, and they traded John Lester. Well, let's not forget that one either.
Well, Tony, they were going to re-sign him in the offseason as a free agent.
So you're talking about guys that they drafted, developed. In the case of Nomar, they didn't win, but with Lester, they won championships. And they still traded him.
They were just renting him to Oakland, Tony. He was coming back here all along. They knew.
Okay, so keep all that in mind. Steve's in Waltham. Steve, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, you know, they didn't have payroll in the offseason, to their relief pitching. So what makes you think they're going to add it July 31st? I highly doubt that's going to happen. Betts is a viable option because I don't see them signing him to a 10-year Trout-like contract. J.D. Martinez has an opt-out.
Steve, before you get to all the particulars, this isn't about whether they'll add. The point is they may be in a position in 8 weeks where they have to sell. That's the point.
Yep. And they have no one to blame but themselves. I don't know if you call this a World Series hangover or a poor roster construction, not doing anything in the bullpen. It's amazing. You know, they made the conscious effort to not.
Steve, why is it poor roster construction? What's wrong? Other than the bullpen, what's wrong?
I mean, I think that's the biggest part. And the fact that they also, all right, not just roster construction, okay? I don't know who the heck told them to say, all right, we're going to back off our starters in spring training and ease them into the season. That clearly was a problem going in. And then here's another thing, Tony, okay?
Okay, but listen, I just want to stick to one point. There's a lot of people on the line, so I can't keep you on too long. But I'm not going to get on the roster construction. The bullpen's short. We knew that going in. Until last night, the bullpen really hadn't cost you any games. So the starting pitching's been garbage. The defense has been garbage. The offense is underachieved. The base running has been poor at times. I'm not saying Dombrowski is exempt, because the last 48 hours or so, 24 to 48, have illustrated some mistakes from Dave Dombrowski, too, and I'm not just talking about the bullpen. We'll get to some of that in a minute. Let's go to, well, this sort of leads us into the topic a little. Erickson Wakefield. Eric, what do you got?
Maz, what happened to Blake Swihart is the grossest mismanagement of a prospect ever. Offensively, he looked decent, kind of a Jason Kendall-ish kind of hitter. Hulk doubles in the gaps. He had good speed, legged out, could have legged out a fair amount of triples. Overtime with his size, probably could have belted double-digit home runs. And like in 5 years, he played about a year's worth of games. He spent a chunk of time in left field. He got brutally injured. He never really got an extended chance. There were times last year he looked okay defensively.
So, yeah, Eric, I don't want to relive everything. I appreciate the call. They absolutely butchered Blake Swihart's career. They butchered it. Chris, I think, has a similar point. Chris in a car, go ahead.
Tony, thanks for taking the call. Kind of following up on the other guy, but not more or less asking for an education on the fact. Why, you know, they put him out for assignment or on assignment, as you framed it the other day. Why didn't, or what could they have done to actually have made him, as they'd say, more valuable in the market and pulled in some other new piece and given that kid a new start? And on that note, thank you for taking the call, and I'll take the answer off there.
Okay, Chris. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I appreciate the call. And Swihart leads into a bigger discussion concerning, if we're going to talk about the roster, then this to me is where we get into Dave Dombrowski. Okay, and I touched a little bit on this a couple of nights ago when the Swihart thing first happened, but it's worth revisiting now because there have been more developments here in the last day. So don't go anywhere. If you're on the line, hang on tight. When we come back, we're going to give you the DraftKings fantasy pick of the night. We're going to get to why Dave Dombrowski should also be one of the guys you're looking at right now. The last 48 hours really should crystallize that. And we'll get to those right after Jim Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How about Steve Pierce?
This is why the Red Sox won't get Steve Pierce.
The MVP of the series, plus 2,200. Steve Pierce is my long shot pick.
Steve Pierce, it's my pleasure to present to you the Willie Mays World Series Most Valuable Player Trophy.
This is the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night with Maz.
Okay, play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON when you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball. Again, the code is BOSTON, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Before we get back to your calls, time for the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Night. So, told you we're going to be doing this about once a week during the course of the year. I like to play. I have to admit, I like to play. I'm actually pretty good at it. I did pick the World Series winner. The MVP winner, I mean, of the World Series. Murray knows.
Yep, you nailed that Nick Markakis pick when you started this thing off this year, too.
Yeah, I've been a little cold since.
Yeah.
But let me just tell you what the exercise is here, okay? I'm not looking to tell you to pick Bryce Harper tonight. I'm trying to give you a dark horse guy that's cheap that would allow you to get production out of a spot on your roster, and then you can fill out the rest of it how you want.
The value selection.
Exactly. I'm trying to give you a good value selection. That's sort of the whole point. That's why I thought Steve Pierce was a good bet last year in the World Series. Good odds, good production, had a chance to win it. And he did. So that's sort of the whole idea. Tonight, there are only five games in the major leagues. There's a 6:30 game that already started, but from 7 p.m. on, there are only five games. these are the good nights to play fantasy. I should tell you that. So if you say, oh, there's only five games, no, 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 you got it wrong. Those are the good nights to play. Because if you can find that one good matchup, oh, it can make all the difference in the world. So tonight, $3,300 in the outfield, Roman Quinn of the Phillies against Kyle Freeland in Colorado. Here's the logic. Quinn just got added to the Phillies roster, so he's cheap. He's a switch hitter. He'll be hitting right-handed. He's better from the right side. Freeland in Colorado is off to a bad start. He's a left-handed pitcher. Righties beat him up pretty good last year. So take a shot. Roman Quinn is the guy you should take a gamble on tonight. We'll continue with your phone calls here, and I want to get to roster building and Dave Dombrowski's role in this whole start, because in the last couple of years, last couple of days, we can call Dombrowski into question now, too, and I'll explain that in depth in 1 second. But first, Andrew and Woburn. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, so the start of this team, it reminds me of the 2008 Tigers. You know, that was a team that was a popular pick to...
Okay, Andrew, I lost you. I'm going to put you on hold, and hopefully your connection will get better, and I'll come back to you. Dombrowski was also the architect of that 07 Tigers team. Here's my point on Dombrowski. First of all, the bullpen's obvious. Last night, the bullpen bit him in the ass. Brandon Workman should not be pitching your seventh inning. He's not a seventh-inning pitcher on a championship team. I'm not telling you he can't get you a key out somewhere along the line in the postseason as your 11th or 12th pitcher. Maybe he can. We've seen it before. We know he can. But seventh inning all year to set up Brazier and Barnes, not good enough. You're short in the bullpen and everybody knows it. Last night, Workman loaded the bases with a 3-1 lead on two walks and a single. He walked two guys on 10 pitches. It helped cost you the game. So again, Brazier came in and gave up the home run, but the loss went to Workman because Workman put all the guys on base. So that was a mistake. That's number one. Number two, Dustin Pedroia left that game last night because he couldn't run up the first baseline. Do you remember what Dave Dombrowski said about Dustin Pedroia way back when in spring training? Do you remember Jimmy Stewart?
I don't specifically, but I have the audio cut for you.
Okay, why don't you play it?
Petey is, he says he feels good. He feels good. Our medical reports on him are good. We're still not looking at a 150-game player. We're hopeful that he's a 125-game player at this point.
That was so ridiculous at the time.
And you know what? This isn't second guessing. Do you remember? What did we say at the time, Murray, since you just mentioned it?
I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I don't know. I would have been, I had it around like 40 or 50, maybe.
Preposterous. 125 games.
He played three games last year.
So you know what the Red Sox did? They left him behind when they started the season. Then they wanted Pedroia to hear for the season opener, so they brought him up. Okay, Dustin Pedroia has played this year six games. The team has played 19. He's played six. He played second base in the first three and never played second base 2 days in a row. Okay, then the last two games of the Baltimore series, he played both as the DH. They lost the second one 8-1. They won the first one 4-0, but that was a 1-0 game going into the ninth when Bogaerts homered, right? So here's my point. If your offense is struggling, should you be making a spot for Dustin Pedroia in your lineup as a DH?
No.
Not anymore.
No.
Now they go to New York, and they didn't want to play him there because of the weather, allegedly.
And just real quick, because that was one of the things that annoyed the hell out of me on Monday, too, that they had to like crowbar him in there to try to get him in the lineup. Like, that was so stupid.
So here's what I'm getting at. Why is he here? Why is Dustin Pedroia here at all?
Because he's still on the books.
Okay, so again, but they could have found another way to stash him and not activate him in the early part of the year. Okay, he's not ready to play. He tried to run out of the box last night, and he couldn't, you know, he had pain in his knee, and I'm willing to bet he goes on the injured list.
Well, before the game, he was talking to Jerry Remy about long-term health, which means I think it's on the radar that Pedroia might think he's done.
Okay, so this was in
Dan Shaughnessy's
column, that Pedroia was walking into the ballpark and said to Remy, are there certain surfaces that when you walk on hurt? Okay, now Remy's again in his 60s, I think.
67.
Okay. So, and Remy said, yes. Yeah, and then had the conversation with Pedroia. Pedroia's 35, whatever he is, has had to have a floor replaced in his home because walking on a certain floor hurts his knees.
Ugh.
And he's going to play second base in the big leagues for 125 games?
He's done.
So here's my criticism of Dombrowski. Okay? Dustin Pedroia has to swap out a floor in his house because he can't walk on it. and you think he's going to play 125 games, and I'll tell you what, let's say you were lying to us just to get us off your back. Fine. You didn't pick up another second baseman. Second year in a row.
Oh, no. They have Nunez, they have Holt, they have Lynn. They have plenty of star-studded second baseman to replace Pedroia.
So Eduardo Nunez can't play the position, as we know, Jimmy.
Oh.
Brock Holt has a scratch cornea, so he's on the disabled list.
Oh.
And last year when they went in with those guys, they ended up having to get Ian Kinsler at the deadline.
Oh.
So the point is, even though they had those guys, they ultimately had to go out and get another second baseman. So not only did Dombrowski ignore the bullpen, he ignored second base. Again. Oh. Again, he ignored it. Then, in the days leading up to the game last night, the Red Sox designated Blake Swihart for assignment, and Dustin Pedroia is on the roster, along with Erasmo Ramirez, by the way, but that's another story. Now Pedroia is going to go on the DL. So not only have you been bending over backwards to get him on the roster, bending over backwards to get him in the lineup as your DH for a team that hasn't hit like it's supposed to, you then put him in the lineup and kept him on the active roster while you designated Swihart, who's probably a better player at this stage of his career, let alone the fact that you might have been able to get something for Swihart if you had included him in a trade, even if it was Colton Brewer. Mistakes all around for Dombrowski, too. Okay, the bullpen, how they've handled Pedroia, Swihart is connected to that, all of that. Dombrowski is on your list, too. Don't eliminate that.
Vasquez can play second base, too.
Paul is in Billerica. Paul, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was talking to my brother, and something dawned on me about the Red Sox. Like, and, you know, Murray, last year you said at the wheel, gutless bump. So I was thinking maybe, you know, the Red Sox mirror the Celtics and how much, you know, they had – so much expectations coming into this year, and they're completely falling below it. And, you know, I think it still carries over from last year because they won in spite of all the negative comments last year. And I think this year, you know, it's getting to them. And I feel like that it shouldn't be happening like it is. And just the parallels between the two teams just caught my eye, and I want to know what you guys thought.
Yeah, Paul, you're not the first one to bring it up. I don't think it's a horrible analogy. The point is that you have, a team that is cavalier. They're not as good as they think they are. And they're good. That doesn't mean they suck. I mean, we say that all the time. But they acted like 108 wins was easy. Because last year, it looked that way. And the fact
and
is,
that cockiness obviously benefited them last postseason. It did. And they heard the noise and they internalized that and they used it to, you know, to help them end up having the season that they had. And it worked. You just can't carry it over to 2019 because clearly it's not working.
Murray, it resets. It always starts over. Always. No matter how good you are, you have to come back the next year and erase it and start over. So I look, to me, these young guys, up until last year,
smelling their own farts.
Absolutely. They were underachievers. They were underachievers. As good as they were, they should have been better. And I took a lot of heat from people saying, well, you know, they won two divisions in a row. They were capable of more. They were always capable of more. Last year, and Alex Cora proved it. Now, look, everything went right. I told you myself, 108 wins is not realistic. But they won two divisions before that. Now they're 6-13. They thought they were going to win by throwing their gloves on the field, and they were wrong. The game's not built that way. Once you start to think you have all the answers, you're screwed in any walk of life. Sports or not, you start thinking you have all the answers, you're screwed. Mike's in the Berkshires. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling because you were talking before, and actually you were just saying now again, you think the Sox are screwed, but they're 19 games into the season, and they're 7 games under .500. In 2004, at the halfway point of the season, they were a .500 team.
No, they weren't.
And they ended up winning the World Series.
No, they weren't a .500 team at the middle of the 2004 season. Where'd you come up with that?
They were.
No, they weren't.
Were a .500 team.
No, you're wrong. They weren't.
They were 8 games. When they traded on July 31st, 2004, no Mark Garcia Parra, they were a .500 team.
They were not a .500 team. They started the year 15-6. They never got to .500. They were over .500 the whole time.
What was their record on July 31st, 2004?
Okay, I'll look it up for you. 10 over, maybe? I don't know, but they weren't 500. Now, if you're going to tell me 10 over and 500 are the same thing, I'm telling you that they're not. And that team was never in jeopardy of missing the playoffs.
I think the caller is confusing the fact with, since that start, they were playing 500 baseball.
Okay, so again, and that part is generally true. But that's the whole point of a fast start, is that you can then play 500 for a while and it doesn't hurt you. They weren't 500 on July 31st of 04. They weren't.
56 and 46.
Okay, they were 10 over. They were 10 games over. Now they made adjustments to the roster and they caught fire in August, but they weren't buried. Like, that is, it's just, again, revisionist history. Believe what you want to believe. I lived it. I remember. They treaded water for a long time. They started out that year 15-6. Roger's in a car. Go ahead, Roger. Roger, go.
Oh, hey, Matt. First off, thank you for not picking Joey Rickard. I'll give you another try for tonight for DK. Anyways, you already got to my point about second base. Yeah, if Nebraska doesn't make another move, like first, second base, I mean, he's got to go after somebody. Maybe like a Dozier who can put the ball over the wall or something like that. What do you think?
So, Roger, look, I would love to see them make a move to shake the team up, but you know what? They're not going to do that. And again, I told you, part of me doesn't want them to, because I sort of look at the players and say, screw you. You don't deserve help. Like, you want help? Play like you can. Right now, you're so pathetic, you don't deserve help. I might as well just let you die on the vine. Like, that's honestly how I feel. This is, the underachievement on this team is insulting. So, could they use an upgrade somewhere? Sure. Am I doing it now? No way. Not in a million years. Suffer. Figure it out. Get out of it yourselves. 6-13. Unbelievable. We'll wrap it up next.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is typically the time where we give you the Big Y matchup of the game, presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts. I sound like a third grader there trying to say Massachusetts. Serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years, there is no matchup tonight. The Red Sox are off, which, as Murray said earlier, means they can't lose. So 6-13, it'll stay that way for at least a night. They might actually gain some ground if Tampa Bay loses. Although, are they in dead last? They got to be, right?
Yeah.
So, and who's Tampa playing? Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Okay, so they're gaining on
8-1 last night.
So they're gaining on somebody tonight. That's the good news, Murray. Look at it that way. They're gaining on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Maz. How's it going?
Good.
Good. So I just want to make a quick point here, a red flag that no one's really talking about, and that's how the Red Sox are opening series. In the first 6 series, they're 5-6, and those 5 losses, I'm sorry, they're 1-6, excuse me. And those 5 losses, they've gotten absolutely shelled by Seattle, Oakland, the Diamondbacks, the Yankees, and Toronto. So what are your thoughts on that?
So, Chris, we actually have talked about that, but I appreciate the call nonetheless because it's worth mentioning again. And that is that the series openers, you say, okay, well, what the hell? They're losing the first game of a series. Big deal. Here's why it's important. Because every series opener, particularly when you're going bad, is an opportunity to reset. So when you start in Seattle, you say, okay, we erase 2018. We start over. You lose 12-4. Okay, fine. You go 1-3 in the 4 games in Seattle. Now you move to Oakland. Series opener again. Here we go. Let's get back on the beam. 7-0 they lost. Now they lose 3 out of 4 in Oakland. They go to Arizona. They're 2-6 at this stage. Fine. Series opener against a bad Diamondbacks team. Let's get our heads screwed on, guys. Let's win this one. They lose 15-8. Eduardo Nunez has to pitch in that game. Then they come home. They get their rings, and they lose to Toronto 7-5. They ended up beating the Orioles, finally, in a series opener. Okay, guys, maybe now we can get on the beam. They end up splitting with a bad team, get their asses kicked on Patriots Day, go to New York, new beginning, team we owned in the playoffs last year, 8-0. They lose. Every time they have a chance to sort of start over, they've gotten their asses kicked. They have gotten their asses kicked. They're not responding. That should worry you. Adam Jones coming up here in just a little bit, in a matter of seconds, in fact, with Christian Arkham. What do you got?
Can I ask you a quick question? I don't want to jam in a question at the end of the program. Apologies to everyone. Do you think the Chris Davis contract impacts JD Martinez at all?
I wouldn't have connected them, and I probably still won't until you asked him.
Well, they're both DHs, and Chris Davis, I think it's a low contract, to be honest. 2 years, $33 million, like $16.5 million, $17 million a year.
I'm sorry, you mean Chris Davis of Oakland?
Yes, yeah. Yes,
Chris,
yes, yes.
I thought
you meant Chris Davis.
No, shame on me. No, the real Chris Davis. The other Chris Davis is old news, except when he plays the Red Sox. So yes, no, Chris with a K Davis. I'm sorry.
So I'll tell you what, it's not bad, Pac-Man. The only thing I would say is that does Chris Davis exclusively DH? Does he ever get in the outfield?
Yeah, Martinez plays more outfield than him. I think he's exclusive, yeah.
And Chris Davis doesn't hit 300.
No, Martinez is a more well-rounded hitter.
But so I would say it's not a perfect comp, no.
I wonder if it scares Martinez into opting in, you know, or at least staying away from opting out.
Two years, 33, is that what it was?
Yep.
30, yeah.
And was he eligible for free agency?
He's a free agent this offseason, yep.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I mean, DHs oftentimes don't make a lot. They don't make a lot. I mean, David Ortiz, I think, was the highest paid DH ever at 16 per, which is probably why this guy's getting 16 and a half.
So we'll maybe elaborate on that. We got some thoughts on Pedroia as well with the Red Sox. But big night, Bruins and Celtics. Red Sox really spoiled it last night. I want to take a step back and ask the fans of Boston, which postseason do you enjoy more? Just philosophically, not the sport. Do you like a sport where the three best teams over 6 months may be out after round one, Tampa, Calgary, and maybe your Bruins? Or do you like the NBA where there's less upsets, but the better teams advance? We'll start with that.
Interesting question. Maybe we'll steal that for an idea for tomorrow. What do you think, Murray?
It's an agenda-free Friday, and our agenda is stealing.
It's actually not a bad take. No. We can steal with the best of them. No two ways about it. Murray's got your headlines. Everyone will see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.